Welcome to the Homesteaders of America podcast, where we encourage simple living, hard work, natural health care, real food, and building an agrarian society. If you're pioneering your way through modern noise and conveniences, and you're an advocate for living a more sustainable and quiet life, this podcast is for you. Welcome to this week's podcast. I'm your host, Amy Fuel, and I'm the founder of the Homesteaders of America organization and annual events. If you're not familiar with us, we are a resource for homesteading education and online support, and we even host a couple of in-person events each year, with our biggest annual event happening right outside the nation's capital here in Virginia every October. Check us out online at homesteadersofamerica.com, follow us on all of our social media platforms, and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can be the first to know about all things HOA. That's short for Homesteaders of America. Don't forget that we have an online membership that gives you access to thousands, yes, literally thousands of hours worth of information and videos. It also gets you discount codes, an HOA decal sticker when you sign up, and access to event tickets before anyone else. All right, let's dive into this week's episode. Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode of the Homesteaders of America podcast. I have a super special guest this week. We have author John Dislin, and in his notes, I love that he wrote, it's pronounced like sizzlin'. I laughed out loud when you said that.
That's funny.
We have John Dislin, the author of Nehemiah Strong. So welcome to the podcast, John.
Thank you so much, Amy. And you know, as you know, you and I first kind of came together 4 or 5 months ago before Christmas. So it's nice to get back together with you and sharpen a little iron and catch up a little bit.
Yeah. So you guys might remember, if you're part of our newsletter, we actually sent out a really big push for Nehemiah Strong. You guys have been asking for this topic a lot, especially since last October when we had John Lovell at the conference about homestead security and just how to make your homestead a safer place. And so we pushed out Nehemiah Strong back then, back during the holidays with a special discount code. We are also going to link all that information in the show notes below and on our website so you can easily find all of that information. Make sure you grab the code too with a discount. So John, why don't we just hop right in and get started? Tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about the book.
Absolutely. Well, I'm just a regular guy. I grew up down here in the South, grew up in Tennessee, and just had a normal kind of middle class, you know, upbringing. Went to college. I don't look as tall on the screen as I am in person. I'm actually 7 feet tall. And so that aided me in having a chance to play basketball. So that was kind of fun. So I played basketball for a few years in college. And after that, just went into a career in finance and just doing my thing. And then right around 2014, I really just started getting sort of shaken and or woken up. It might be a better description. And so starting in 2014, really just got shaken down to my feet in terms of what's going on in the world, the nature of the world, the evil that's going on in the world. And that just completely changed my direction in terms of what I was about. So I got born again, got saved, became a follower of Jesus Christ. And then from there, it's been kind of a wild ride. So started with a couple of years ministry doing counter-abortion work. And then a couple of years after that, doing a lot of training with, you know, different spec ops people and three-letter agency people and getting involved in counter-human trafficking and satanic ritual abuse with Russ Dizdar, who was one of the loveliest men on earth and had this bleeding edge, just tip of the spear counter satanic ritual abuse ministry. So did that for a few years and then kind of entered a new season, Amy, and God kind of laid it on my heart to start writing, and in particular, start writing about, you know, what happens if there's a knock on the door, and in particular, how do you control the narrative? How do you win that moment? And how do you not fall into the pits, the pitfalls that are set up for you by these self-described public servants who come and, you know, have an agenda for you that's not in your best interest? And so I started out down that little narrow trail. And really, what I had envisioned in my mind was kind of a thick pamphlet worth of, you know, information. And mm-hmm. 2 years later, I had a 480-page book. In fact, here's a copy of it. And so that's the front, but, you know, that's the side. And in fact, you'll see here, it's so thick that I had print tabs put on the edge of the book so you can see what section book you're in. But anyway, so 2 years later, 480 pages later, it was kind of interesting because, you know, God's idea for the book I was going to write was way, way bigger and more complete than this little idea I had. And so coming out of last year, the book came out, and ever since then, I've been, as I describe it to people, Amy, I've been lighting brush fires of faith and liberty and equipping with folks so that we're, you know, because we're meant to be victors. And we're, you know, it was even prophesied by Daniel in Daniel 11:32, where he said, "But they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." And that's what we're supposed to be like in this season. So that's what my book's all about. And, you know, it's got a bunch of detail in it that's practical, but also it has a lot of detail in it, Amy, as you know, because you've got a few copies. It's got a lot of detail that's spiritual, because ultimately you have to understand,
right,
all of this nonsense going on right now, it originates in a spiritual dimension or a spiritual realm. And it's cascading over into kind of the natural realm. But if you don't understand the origin of what we're dealing with, it won't all make sense. But if you do understand it, everything makes sense. And then you're able to tackle it appropriately.
Yeah. Yeah. The one thing I loved about this book, and like I told John when we started reading it, is that, and I think we mentioned this in our email too to you guys, it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not with this book. It does have the spiritual aspect of it. But I love that you kind of talk to both people. You know, you talk to the non-Christian and the Christian. And, you know, if you're not a Christian, obviously like 90% of our audience is, but there are some that are not. And so don't discount this podcast episode at all. Like, there's legit good information in this book. And so, John, why don't you give us a few examples of what's actually in the book and what it teaches people?
Absolutely. And just to reiterate what you just said, Amy, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, that was me not so long ago. And so I have a heart for you. I would love to edify you with the book, with all the things in it that we wouldn't have an argument about. And I would just encourage you, you know, because if Christians are right, and if Jesus is who he claims to be, then it's the best news you could ever hear in your whole life. Right. And of course, if he's not, then it's the most ridiculous nonsense that ever was. But it's worth considering. And there is some of that in the book, but there is plenty there. If Jesus isn't your thing, there is a ton of stuff there that can really equip you and your family. And I would just encourage you not to throw the baby out with the bathwater, right, if you will.
Yeah.
So yeah, let me give you a couple examples. I'll start on the practical side. So one of the points when I started writing the book, Amy, it was from a video by a lovely woman named Celeste Solem. And you talk about a woman who switched on. She worked, she was a high-level planner and executive at DHS and FEMA. And then she realized how unpleasant and not good their schemes and plans were. And so she basically ran from that organization, and she's been, you know, a truth teller ever since. And that's what seeded my initiative on, you know, the knock on the door. Mm-hmm. And so, as you know, Amy, and as any reader who picks this thing up will quickly learn, I'm a little bit of an OCD person. And, you know, what in some contexts can be a weakness, if you direct it correctly, it can be a real strength. And so I sort of rode my OCD pony and produced multiple sections on, for example, if there's a knock on the door, God forbid you have to open the door, because the first answer is don't open the door. But if life happens, and so if you have to open that door, there's pages and pages and pages of description of not only what they're trying to do kind of on a generalized basis, you know, they're trying to run a narrative. They're trying to hold theater for you. And the response they want is fear, compliance, whatever the box they're trying to check, Amy. They're looking to get you to comply. And fear is kind of, you know, tool number one. And so much of that section is about recognizing it for what it is, But then also recognizing the authority you have. You're the king of your castle. And so if somebody comes to your castle and wants you to do something, you're the rule maker on your property. And so you get to set the narrative, you get to set the tone, you get to lay out what the how the script goes.
Right.
And so, and it's all about having the sort of encounter with these folks, not in an ugly way, but certainly in a from a position of calmness, power, and authority on your property, that what you say goes. And by the end of the conversation that I've outlined for folks, you are in complete and utter control. And frankly, the people who came on your property are going to wish they'd never met you.
Right. Yeah.
And not in a sense that you did something bad, mm-hmm. but your relative to position to them will be so overwhelming that they'll be looking for excuses to move
on. Right. That's right. I thought that was really encouraging in your book that you know, a lot of people nowadays are like guns blazing, let's go, you know, but your book really, it equips people with information that they don't know. So if you guys are wondering like, what in the world are y'all talking about? you know, on a homestead, there's some different things here. You know, we can have conversations about, you know, the government could come on your property or anybody really, but mostly we're talking about more government things like, and try to tell you, you can't do this, or we need to take this, or, and this has happened frequently in the homesteading and farming world specifically, when they say that people are going against laws that they're not going against. I mean, we've seen all kinds of animals euthanized because they had diseases. You know, there's a lot of different things that go on in homesteading related situations. Now, John's book isn't necessarily just about homesteading, but it could pertain to any of this that happens on your property. We can even go back to COVID, where, you know, and I think that's probably what started prompting you to think about this. Is that right, John? Do I remember that right?
It was in the COVID season, and a lot of the pressure being put on people played right into the genesis of the book, certainly. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it could even go into something like that if we were to see other outbreaks or whatnot. So take this information and start thinking of your personal situation that maybe you've thought of, or maybe you have a friend that's gone through, or you've seen on the news. So those are the types of things that we're talking about, just to help you kind of understand that a little bit more. So yeah, John, you're right. I love that you equip people with information before even going to the thing we hear all the time, right? Like we hear tactical training and things like that, which you do talk about. So let's kind of go a little bit further into what else is in the book.
Okay. I'll tell you something else that, you know, this is an example of kind of the next level out from that core topic I started with, Amy, that is so practical and so applicable and could benefit, I venture to say, every single person listening to this podcast, is forming up what I call a mutual assistance team. Other folks have called them mutual assistance groups. And there's a whole lot. First of all, to back up a step, whether it's a knock on the door or whether it's, you know, trouble from out of people who aren't from your community who are coming around to cause trouble or take stuff or anything in between, you know, or maybe a natural disaster, having a pre-organized group of like-minded folks that you know you can trust, that when push comes to shove and times get tough, you know they'll be there for you and you'll be there for them. That's invaluable. Mm-hmm. But you don't just sort of, you know, roll a stone down a dirt road and come up with, you know, a great team of people you can count on. It doesn't just happen.
Yeah. You don't do that.
No. And so I spent just weeks and weeks digging into that, exploring that, and fleshing out not only how you form that team up, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second, but also then, okay, once you form this team up, how do you administer it? How do you practice your tactics and your activities so that you're ready to go? What kind of, and this is a really important one, Amy, I've got multiple sections in there on what kind of equipment do you seek, you know, whether it's simply apps on your phone, but also VHF, UHF radios, depending on your range, for communicating with each other. Because, you know, when stuff goes sideways, communication is going to be, you know, communication with every single party I've trained with, and I've done some interesting training, it's a force multiplier. And anything that's a force multiplier where you get an outsized result from the benefits of whatever that technology is or that understanding is or that app is, that's worth having because it is what it says it is. It multiplies the effectiveness of what you've got, your team, whatever. And of course, having a team itself, by definitionally, that's kind of the definition of a force multiplier because you have a multiplied force. So that's a really good example. And I get just going for pages and pages, not only about how you form it, but then how do you work together? How do you train? How do you prepare? How do you make sure you're ready? Another one that, and this is one of my favorites, Amy, I don't know if you came across this in the back of the book, because there are 48 essential supplements and additional exhibits in the back of the book. And that comprises over 200 pages of the book. And it just has all manner of practical application things.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite examples is the home invasion OODA loop, I call it OODA loop, evaluation, and then homeowner countermeasures to a home invasion. Mm-hmm. And so an OODA loop, for those who don't know, it's observe, orient, decide, act. And so it's this decision loop. And they talk about it in the military training and doctrine. But whatever you're doing, you're constantly going through this decision loop of, you know, how you do things and how do you go get the groceries and how do you pick up the kids and, you know, how do you plant the winter wheat, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Home invaders run an OODA loop. And so they're looking for the juiciest targets, and they're evaluating, and they're sizing them up versus, you know, the ones down the street. And so one of my favorite sections, it's just a 3 or 4 page section, but it has dozens of practical tips for, first of all, how home invaders look at targets. And it puts you in the mind's eye of a home invasion crew. But then it says, okay, well, if that's the playbook they run, what's the countermeasure playbook that you should run? And some of it is as simple as, you know, let's say, for example, you don't have, you know, a big strapping man in the house. Go get an old pair of dirty work boots, big, and put them on the front steps. You know, make it look like that sort of thing's in place, or a big dog bowl. If you don't have a big dog, make it look like you have a big dog. One of my favorites in it, and I just love these things. And I'll tell you, you mentioned John Lovell. John Lovell loves these things too. It's a door brace called a night lock.
Oh, yeah.
And literally when they trained in the field, because he was a door kicker in Fallujah in Iraq, when they trained in the field and they trained against night lock door braces, they had to cut the door in half to enter the house. And so if you want to secure your perimeter in your home, go get some night lock. It's nightlock.com. I'm not paid anything. I'm just sharing the information, but it is a way to absolutely lock down the exterior of your home so that, you know, if they start coming into your home, there's a good chance they never get in because those dang night locks, it takes 1500 something pounds of force to defeat the night lock. And nobody's that big. I'm not that big.
Right.
So anyway, that's just one little tip, but there are, like I said, there are 48 supplements in the back of the book, all different varieties, but you know, that's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you have other things in there too, right? Like if I remember, you have supplements, actual supplements, like you can take, you have lists of those things. I think you even had baby, like homemade baby formula in there, which you guys know, you know, Weston A. Price, and Sally Fallon have spoken at our events. Like these are things that are in there for you. It's an incredible handbook, a very big handbook, but an incredible handbook to keep with you to reference. Like if you're sitting here thinking, I don't know that I'll ever need that, or it's too overwhelming, there's way more than that in there. So it's just really, it's a really good resource for you guys to have for safety and just understanding of things on your homestead.
Well, and you, I think you use the key word, Amy, because you know, when you write a book, it's nice to hear from people that, you know, you didn't waste your time
right.
and it doesn't suck. And, And so I've shared it, you know, with some different friends and whatnot, like-minded people. And something I found myself telling people, because I heard some feedback from people who said, you know, oh, it's overwhelming, I'm only on page 40. It's a reference guide. You know, it's not a novel.
Yeah. You don't have to sit down and read all of it at one time.
No. But, you know, like, for example, I don't know if, let me hold something up. So here's the essential supplements, for example. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you could see that, Amy,
not
pretty
too
good.
Well, but.
Okay. But anyway, yeah, I'm sorry. It's not, the camera's not focused for that, but it has really detailed tables of contents mm-hmm. in it. And so, for example, it has 258 subsection titles in the table of contents of the main body. And then it has the 32 essential supplements and then 18 other exhibits, you know, in the mm-hmm. exhibits table of contents. So you can open up the table of contents and say, ooh, you know, take a little pencil and, you know, I want to read that. Go read those. And so, like you said, it's more of a reference than it is something to read from start to finish.
Yeah.
And Amy, I forgive you. If you've never read my 480-page book from start to finish, I forgive you.
I'm going to be honest. I have not read it from start to finish. Like, it's season of life that I'm in. Now, my husband started reading.
You got other fish to fry, right?
Man, yeah. You're not kidding. But I have gone through it, and I have read quite a bit of it. But the one thing I want to point out to you is you have some forms in there, and then you also have them as a PDF download on your website, right? So if people want to purchase it, they, you know, that was the first thing I went for when I got the book were the forms that you have. Like, so like John said, if somebody shows up from the government, you have these forms to kind of go through with them. And if you want to hand them to them, you can actually print them out. You can either make copies from the book or he has a PDF printable. So I just wanted to mention that. Do you want to talk just briefly on those forms and what they are? And then we'll move on to the next part.
Absolutely. In fact, I call them questionnaires, but those questionnaires are one of my favorite parts of the book, because I realized if you're going to control the narrative, you know, the key is when they knock on the door and they want you to do stuff you ought not do, you ought to get some questions answered first before you go answering any questions of theirs, mm-hmm. right? And so I didn't find what to me would be a satisfactory set of those questions. And so I just started with a whiteboard, and I started with a spreadsheet, but I mean, I just went through and said, what is everything and the kitchen sink that we could ask these people to make them squirm out of their shoes mm-hmm. as they stand there wanting to, you know, make you do something. And Amy, I'm going to confess, I had a ball writing those questionnaires, because I was just picturing in my mind that like, this is going to be a very interesting engagement with people, asking questions that really, you know, part of my thinking behind the questionnaire was, what are the most appropriate yet uncomfortable questions we can possibly ask to put these uninvited guests on notice that they're going to be in real trouble? There's liability here of the personal kind. Mm-hmm. If they, for example, try and deny me my constitutional rights.
Right.
I mean, there's real teeth out there. If you know your rights, you can create absolute sort of emotional chaos for somebody showing up on your property. And so there's 7 pages of questionnaires in there. There's 3 for kind of a normal Joe, or let's say a law enforcement, for example. Mm-hmm. But then there's 4 more pages. If they take the healthcare route, which I think it's a real vulnerability of our constitutional rights. And I think we still have them. I would argue, you know, that's no exception to my God-given rights, right? They would argue differently, but mm-hmm. at least there's an argument. But anyway, there's 4 pages. If you show up and you claim to be a healthcare provider, man, you just entered a whole new track, because not only are you answering the first 3 pages, but then you're answering the next 4 pages. And then, of course, and it's just, it's comically detailed. And it's, if I were they, I would be absolutely terrified by the end. I wouldn't make the end of the questionnaire, because I would say, I got other things to do. I'm not going to stand here and do this, which is the point, right? That's the, okay, right, fine. Right. You do you. You have a great day. But mm-hmm. back to your point about the electronic thing, I thought it would be fun and trendy if I just sold a book electronically, you know, because it'd just be easier. Like printing thousands of books. I mean, I spent most of my first year investing in my book because I got pallets of books for people. So at first I was going to sell the book electronically, and then I tried to edit my own book on the screen. And 480, I mean, imagine that book on your screen.
That's a lot.
And I realized that people needed it in paper because it's just too, you can't navigate it on that flat screen. It's just too much. And so that's when I did the print.
Yeah.
But then I realized that those essential supplements, as you mentioned, are invaluable to have as individual files so that you can work with them. You can open up the questionnaires, you can print out five copies, whatever. And so, yeah, the book's 48, and then for 12 more bucks, you get 48 individual PDF files in the back that really equip you to be facile and nimble with, oh, I'm going to print this out. Oh, I'm going to, you know, make a couple extra copies of this or that. So yeah, for 12 more bucks, you get 48 files. And I just wanted to really equip people in as efficient a way as I could.
Well, I appreciate it. I bought some, so I appreciate it. It made it easier for me.
I appreciate that. You made it Christmas presents too, which I thought was really sweet. I did.
Hey, thanks for listening. We're going to take a quick break to introduce you to one of our sponsors that has been with HOA for a few years, and that's Premier One Supplies. At Premier One, they've been providing electric fencing and electric netting, sheep and goat supplies, clippers and shears, ear tags, poultry products, and expert advice for over 40 years. Whether it's electric netting for your chickens or cattle or horses or poultry, or clippers and shears, and even poultry supplies such as fencing, feeders, waterers, egg handling supplies, hatchery items, they have it all. They are a one-stop shop for all things homesteading, just like many of our sponsors. Check out Premier One Supplies at premierone.com, and don't forget to check them out at the HOA event this year.
Yeah.
Okay, let's switch gears here a little bit. So one of the questions, I keep seeing this everywhere in your book and on your bookmarks and stuff. I'm not even going to say this word right. What is, you can say the word, Kazakh Asa. All right. Explain this to us.
I'm so glad you asked. And by the way, if you buy my book from my website, johndeslin.com, I fell in love with it so much that we made up a bunch of bookmarks. So you're going to get a bookmark and it's going to say the reference, and then it has Kazakh Asa in the background. And it's kind of funny, Amy, because it's a little bit of a cart and horse, because I felt led to write this book, and it was so massive. It was so much bigger than I was expecting. And it was only after I wrote the book that I took a step back and I said, what is this thing? And what is this new ministry of sorts that I'm doing? Like, what am I doing here? You know, why am I going on Talk with Amy? What's the point of this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the order of it's kind of funny, because I kind of came to my understanding of it after I finished writing the book. But so here's what I came to understand, Amy. And I'll use three Bible verses to illustrate what I'm talking about.
Okay.
The first one I'll use is from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament is chapter 59. And in the second half of the verse, it says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. Well,
right.
I don't know about the people listening, but I see a flood of evil, and right. and it's not abating. It's the floodwaters. I mean, we've all seen floodwaters, right? You know, I'm not a homesteader. But my dad grew up on a farm in Iowa. So some of my favorite memories of my childhood were on the farm in Iowa. So I understand that lifestyle, and I have a heart for it. Frankly, I wish I were more of that than I am, but I've got, you know, life considerations I'm working through. But anyway, so I've seen floodwaters. I know what that looks like. This flood is still going up. You know, the waters are still going up. So that's the first context is, there's this terrible set of issues we're having to face in this season. Well, and I've been ruminating over that, and what does that mean? And, you know, what are we to do? And that's a big part of what the book is about, is what do I do now? Now that I see this flood, what do I do now? And I think what is just spectacular, Amy, is that for those people who do know the Bible and who are Christians, you know, scripture interprets itself. One part of the Bible will answer a question in the other part of the Bible.
Right.
And I came to realize that in another place in the Old Testament from Daniel, the book of Daniel, and the man Daniel who wrote it, there's an answer to the call, right? So that picture of the Spirit of the Lord raising up a standard, that's a battlefield picture, okay? It's a war, and God himself has raised up this standard, which is like a battle flag, okay? It's like a rally flag that you might see that they had in the Civil War, right? Carrying the colors of the regiment. Well, the answer to that, in my humble opinion, is Kazakasa. And so, which is Hebrew, and I'll get to that in a second. But in Daniel, in chapter 11, verse 32, Daniel has been describing, frankly, the last days. He's been describing this Antichrist character that John gives a lot more detail about in Revelation. And he's talking about these attributes, and then all of a sudden there's this comma. And there's some, this is a whole other podcast, but there's some amazing commas in scripture, Amy.
You're right. I mean,
that
you're right.
All of human history pivots around some commas in scripture. And this is one of them. And so Daniel's talking about this lunatic, you know, wicked, you know, the embodiment of evil who people describe as the Antichrist. And there's a comma. And then he says, but they, and of course he's writing in Hebrew, not in English. Mm-hmm. So, but in English he says, but they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Mm-hmm. And I read that and I started thinking about that in the context of the flood. And so I got stirred up to really dig into it. And when I dug into it, that Hebrew for be strong, do exploits is Kazak. Asah.
Wow.
And what's neat about those words, Amy, is those are the most foundational root level words in Hebrew for be and do.
Yeah.
And if you think about it in your life, you know, before you can go do something, you have to be something, right? You have to be strong. You have to be aware. You have to be prepared. You have to be right-minded, whatever it may be. And so Daniel is telling us, he's prophesying about people that we know, people in this age that we're living in, saying there are people in that time that he couldn't imagine millennia later who were going to be strong and do exploits, which is Kazakasa. And I would just exhort people listening to us today, Amy, and obviously you, and I'm preaching to myself while I'm talking to you, but this is the hour for us to be our finest,
right?
You know, to really challenge ourselves to set aside the fear, to put our boots on the necks of the iniquity and the lies and the going along. And I'm not saying, you know, go storm the castle and you know, burn it to the ground. I'm saying square away your personal life first, but then there's a season coming when good men and good women, strong men and women, are going to have to stand up, assert ourselves, assert what is good, and strive to push back against the flood.
Yeah.
And I would exhort, if anybody gets anything out of my message in my book, I would hope it would be that, because this season we're going to have good men and women standing up in the fight and resisting the evil.
Yeah.
And so Kazakasa, go be strong and go do exploits.
That's something I don't think we'll forget. Like, thank you for explaining that, because it's really, I hope it encourages you guys, because it encourages me to hear that, you know, it's a charge for who we are and who we were created to be. And, you know, we talk about that a lot, like, especially the homesteading community. We're essentially creating our own Goshen is what's, you know, happening. Joel Salatin will say, get in the ark, we're the ark, you know, get in the ark. And so this is just another piece of that we can do this and not be fearful. We can do it and not be fearful because of who we are and who we serve, but we can also do it and not be fearful because of having the knowledge and equipment on how to do the things, right? So let's do jump into the spiritual mm-hmm. aspect of your book, because that's one thing that I really enjoy, because, you know, one thing that my husband and I have talked about, especially this year, is that a lot of the things that you're seeing in media and on YouTube and social media is just very fear-based and like physical. And what we don't realize, especially, you know, specifically talking to Christians here, is that there's a totally different unseen realm that we should know about, and we should know our authority in Christ. So, John, let's talk about that. Let's unpackage the spiritual side of your book and how you kind of explain that in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so glad we're going there, because it's maybe the parts of the book that are might feel the most foreign to a lot of the folks listening and watching today. But it doesn't it feel less and less foreign when you consider the nature mm-hmm. of what's happening in the news? I mean, you don't even have to go to alt media to see the lunacy, right? I mean, you don't have to go digging.
You can just
for
walk
it.
Down our street. My goodness, say you can walk into your nearest town and see the crazy that's going on.
And in fact, just to speak to that, I won't spend much time on it, but a week and a half ago, for some crazy reason, I was in downtown Chicago, Illinois, Saturday night at 10.
Oh my.
And I come out on Michigan Avenue, which is like the big main retail kind of visitor street in downtown Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I'm about to turn left. Okay. There is a wall of blue police lights, a third of a mile north of me. And I just get a check and my spirit just says, don't go that way. Go around. Mm-hmm. And only later did I find out that those were the Chicago riots of Saturday night, the 15th. And I was about 2 minutes from getting my head caved in by driving into the middle of this, you know, this race riot effectively.
Wow.
And so, you know, if you think, oh, it couldn't come here, it's not happening, it's over there, it's somewhere, you know, it is washing up wherever you're mm-hmm. at. It's going to find us. Right. So also, you know, if you are a Christian and it still feels weird, which is kind of funny because you can't swing a dead cat in the New Testament without reading about, you know, Jesus casting out spirits and, you know, Paul.
Well, that's the problem, John. People don't actually read the Bible anymore.
Yeah. If go pick up your Bible, go read a chapter, go read two. Mm-hmm. You can hardly read a chapter or two without encountering that spiritual realm evil, you know, whether it's literally casting out demons. You know, Paul, for example, I'm trying to remember the reference, Corinthians chapter 11, where he's talking about false preachers who are manifesting as ministers of righteousness, just like their father, the devil, mm-hmm. who can, I'm trying to remember the word. I used to run with Russ Dizdar, who did all this mm-hmm. counter human trafficking, satanic ritual abuse. And it's metaskizmazitai. It's so you change your appearance. Well, this is Satan. He changes his appearance to an angel of light, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, without changing his nature. And so don't be surprised if these ministers appear as ministers of righteousness, who are utterly wicked, by the way. Mm-hmm. They're playing for the black team. So, you know, if this feels strange to you, I would just encourage you just to set aside this discomfort for a minute and listen to us reason this out and consider the veracity of it as we talk about it. So my background, Amy, that formed the foundation of me writing those chapters on our spiritual authority and then spiritual warfare toolkit was founded in, well, first of all, it started with counter-abortion work for a couple of years, because that's mm-hmm. that's really heavy duty spiritual warfare. I mean, there's death going on, and there's it's a dressed up human sacrifice is what it is at its essence. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're in it when you go do that. You're definitely in it. And I encountered, without getting into details, I encountered some substantial personal spiritual attack that harmed me physically. And, you know, God found a way, and he wound up making mm-hmm. me stronger for it. But I was laid up in bed for 6 weeks after surgery because of it. So it's real, mm-hmm. and I've experienced it personally. Now, after counter-abortion work, I spent a couple of years running with Russ Dizdar and basically confronting some of the most wicked, despicable, you know, traitors to humanity that walked the earth, trafficking children, doing satanic, you know, look, people, it's real, doing satanic right. rituals, human sacrifice,
yeah.
the whole bit, you know, and this isn't, I'm not speaking hyperbolically, I'm not speaking allegorically, that is literally what the enemy does. Whether you believe in it or not, they right. believe in it and they do it.
Yep.
And so because of that experience I had, I knew I had to write about the spiritual aspect of this season we're in, because without it, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
You can't explain what, you know, what Dylan Mulvaney's doing with his whole Bud Light promotion, let alone Bud Light. What are they doing? You can't mm-hmm. explain, you know, Audrey Hale going out in a blaze of gunfire, and on the way she murders three little kids who she never knew, you know, who will never have a future, right. they'll never have kids, they'll never get married. You can't explain that mm-hmm. in the natural realm. You have to understand the spiritual. And so mm-hmm. I spent a section talking about our spiritual authority. And when you, I don't, Amy, did you really dig into that section? Did you read the spiritual authority section?
I started. I haven't finished all of it, though.
Okay. I'll tell you, you know what's funny is when you go write something like that, you wind up learning more than most of the people yes. who read it. And mm-hmm. and when I wrote that section, I'm here to tell you, it absolutely astounded me. The authority that we have if you're a believer. Now, if you're not a Christian, mm-hmm. it's available to you. If you right. will just receive the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, that you repent and yep. believe and you confess that he's Lord, that this authority is available to you. It's not like you're an outsider. You just haven't accepted the gift yet. But if you have, I'm here to tell you, based on scripture, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, according to itself, our authority for walking around, for taking authority of this evil that's washing up is absolutely astounding. And it's all founded mm-hmm. in scripture. And so I can't remember, you know, I wrote it all, but I can't remember it all.
Oh, no,
wrote.
I feel you.
But yep. I'll tell you one thing that Jesus said is he said, miracles like these you will do and greater than these.
And greater.
After I depart, but I must depart so that the Comforter may come. And it's a good thing that he mm-hmm. comes, because that's the Holy Spirit living in us, right? But elsewhere he said, all authority. You know, Jesus mm-hmm. Jesus didn't speak in half measures. He didn't speak hyperbolically, except when he was speaking in a parable or something illustrative. He said, all authority I give to you to trample on, you know, scorpions and serpents, and nothing shall by any means harm you. He said those words. Yep. And so if he is the Lord of your life, take him at his word. And mm-hmm. so then when you read through that section, you will be, I challenge you not to be floored by the authority we've been given. And then the counterpiece to that marries up with that is, frankly, the last section I wrote in the book, Amy, which is the spiritual warfare toolkit. And I was editing my own book, of course, which is very hard to do. You're reading your own stuff, right? It's like tasting your own cooking mm-hmm. and trying to figure out if it's good.
Yep.
So I'm reading through the draft of the book, and it's like the Holy Spirit's, you know, rolling his eyes at me, shaking his head, because I talked all around spiritual warfare, but I had not written the spiritual warfare toolkit section yet. Mm-hmm. And so I felt really convicted. I set yeah. down the draft, and I spent over another month writing the longest section of the whole book, which is the spiritual warfare toolkit. And I basically poured everything into that I picked up through counter-abortion, counter-human trafficking, satanic ritual abuse with Russ Dizdar, put it in this section to say, here are the nuts and bolts of, okay, if you have this authority, how do you wield it? Mm-hmm. And so it's 37 pages of, here's what it looks like to wield it.
Yeah.
And so I go into excruciating detail on what it looks like to walk in your authority, to exercise that authority, mm-hmm. not in some Hollywood
right.
dramatized yep. fire and brimstone kind of way, but simple spoken authority rooted in your faith, in what you believe, and speaking that authority, that truth to power, so that you're the victor, because we're meant to do those things. And I did my level best, Amy. I pray that it's effective for people, but I did my level best to equip people with that.
Yeah.
Who've never had a chance to go do counter satanic ritual abuse work.
Right. Yeah. You know, one of the things that my husband likes to say is it doesn't matter how much food or ammo or anything that you have, if when those times come, if you're not listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, if you don't know his voice, then none of it matters, mm-hmm. because you're fighting a battle that's spiritual all along. It's not physical. It's completely and totally spiritual when that time comes, you know. And I think you're right. To go back a little bit, when you were talking about your experiences and how people are kind of just, they like to sit back, especially Christians in America, like to sit back and think, this could never happen here. It could never happen to me. I'm just going to turn my TV off and I'm going to go do something else and just stick my head in the sand. And the reality is that it's been happening forever since our existence, right? Like, it's just the same tactic over and over again, and the same things, just a different era. Mm-hmm. And so we perish for lack of knowledge, right? The Bible tells us that we perish because we don't understand. We don't know. We put our heads in the sand. And so I specifically love that you put that section in that book. That was kind of, when I started flipping through it, I'm like, okay, I'm going to start giving this the time of day now, because all the other stuff, I'm going to be honest, all the other stuff, I've read it, I've seen it, I've watched the video, you know what yeah. I mean? Like, I've watched people talk about this, but to really encourage people to do the most important thing, which is learn the voice of God, dwell in the secret place, just like Psalm 91 says, he who dwells mm-hmm. in the secret place of the Most High, you know, to abide under his wing, not come out from under there. That's where your safety is. You know, we can do take all these steps, and we should, you know, we should take the steps in the beginning of the book, but really think about the end of it as well. Like John said, he was convicted to put that section in there for a reason, for such a time as this. It's very important, and it's your greatest hope for what's coming. I mean, I say what's coming, but you guys, you know, there's places that are already experiencing such depth of evil, you know, in cities and third world countries. And we're just very blessed to live in a bubble here in America. We're blessed to live on farms and homesteads in America. We're so blessed that we got it, right? It clicked. We want to create these places of refuge, but that's not how the rest of the world is. And the rest of the world will come looking for a place of refuge. And so we don't say that for you to be fearful of it. We say that because, you know, we want to equip you with as much information, with as many tools, and as much solid foundation in the Bible and in Christ and the Holy Spirit for you to be prepared for what's coming and what is essentially already here, just not manifesting yet. So, John, is there anything else you want to add to this and our podcast today?
Yeah, just real quick, because I mentioned before the two scriptures about the enemy coming in like a flood, and then the answer to the mm-hmm. call being kazakasa, right? Be strong and do exploits. Right. I think that part of the glue that marries up between those two speaks to what you were just talking about, to have understanding. And so discernment in between those two, I think, is so imperative that you see, you're watchful, you're observing what's going on, but you have the understanding to process it and then turn it into action. And the verse that for me just absolutely leaps out of the Bible and speaks to that it's from 1 Chronicles 12:32. And so that's an Old Testament book, and it's talking about the formation of King David's army when he first ascends to the throne. And it's talking about the different tribes of Israel that sent men to join the army. And it's just one of those boring lists in the Old mm-hmm. Testament, you know? And then all of a sudden there's this gem, and there's this verse, 1 Chronicles 12:32, that says, of the tribe of Issachar, the sons of Issachar, mm-hmm. who understood the signs of the times that they might know what to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Of the 200 captains, all of them were at his command. And so there's so much to unpack in that one verse, and add, we don't want to spend another hour, but They were watching. They saw the signs. They had understanding. And then they converted that understanding into action that they might know what to do. And just in that one verse, and that sort of discernment, if you don't have it, if you feel like your head's spinning and you don't understand, you don't see the illumination of this battle space we're in, I would just exhort you to pray for it, you know, because in James, it says, my people have not because they ask not. And so ask for discernment, you know, ask for understanding of the sons of Issachar. And watch God move in your life. And once you have understanding, Amy, I would contend it really gives you a calm because it's not all confusing anymore. You see that it's the schemes of the enemy, but you also know simultaneously that God has not left the battle space and he will never concede the battlefield. And we know from Revelation, I think it's 19, that Jesus Christ himself comes in righteousness to judge and make war. And and he's going to square the ledger. He's counting on us to have enough faith in him that we stand in the gap in this hour and we honor him by having the faith to stand strong in this hour. And not only him, but stand strong, like it says in Nehemiah, which, of course, Nehemiah Strong, my book, is named after. He says, fight for your wives, fight for your sons and daughters, fight for your homes. And we're in that kind of season.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, John, thank you for joining me. This could go on, you're right, for another hour. Like, we could unpackage so much more just getting into the spiritual aspect of it. But I only have you for an hour today, so.
No problem.
Guys, check out John online. John, why don't you tell us everywhere they can find all your information and anything else you want to share about that?
Sure. Thank you so much. Well, first of all, if you want to follow stuff, I am on, Parler, Telegram, and Twitter. But if you're interested, if my message is resonating with you at all, I would just encourage you, go check out johndislin.com, which is my website. And that's spelled D-Y-S-L-I-N is my last name. So johndislin.com, you can learn all about the book. There's tremendous detail on the website like there is in the book. And think about getting the electronic essentials, because having those 48 files is really nimble, makes you nimble. Mm-hmm. And then also, Amy, as you know, I gave it to your followers before, and I want to re-extend that. There's a code, if you put in the code HOMESTEAD, you save 15% off the book and the electronic essentials if you choose to get them. And that's the biggest public discount we've given anybody, is for you homesteaders. Because like I said before, you know, I got a heart for you guys, because growing up, you know, playing with my granddad, my uncle, and my brother and sister on the farm, I love you guys. So anyway, I encourage you to check it out at johndislin.com, and thank you for listening to Amy and me visit. And Amy, thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. I've enjoyed it. I wish we had more time. You also, do you still have your Advent printable on your website as well?
I do. And I'll let you talk about that. But at the top in the menu bar, there's an item that says Advent, and it's there. So why don't you tell people your perspective on that?
Yeah. So John actually sent us a printable of this. Basically, it goes through scriptures. It's an Advent calendar, essentially, which most of you, I assume, would know what that is. And then I really loved it. We actually used it. We sent it to our parents at our church school that we have. And then we use it at home. And it's so cool because it goes through like the prophecies, like on this day, you know, this, and it gives you scriptures. And so for those of you looking for a really good Advent option to really bring scripture alive during Christmas time to your kids and even to yourself, I mean, it was even fun for adults to look at too, to just prove the lineage and the prophecy of Christ and even beyond that. It's a really great resource. So if you're on there and you're checking stuff out, click that Advent tab for that as well. I know it's nowhere near Christmas at the recording of this, but you will definitely use it during Christmas. So thank you for putting that together, John, too.
And Amy, that's free. You can just go get that. You don't have to pay anything for Advent. So just go get that yourself and enjoy it. But thank you for mentioning that. I'm glad it was a blessing to y'all, because it was, you know, when I put it together years ago, I just put it together for my family. I thought, you know, maybe I should share this. So
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. We will use that every year to come, and hopefully our kids will just memorize it. All right, guys, thank you for joining us this week. Check out all of this information we went over are in the show notes below. It's on our website. If you're watching on YouTube, it's also below in the description of this video. Leave us a comment if you have any questions or something to comment about the video. And until next time, happy homesteading. Hey, thanks for taking the time to listen to this week's Homesteaders of America episode. We really enjoyed having you here. We welcome questions, and you can find the transcript and all the show notes below or on our Homesteaders of America blog post that we have up for this podcast episode. Don't forget to join us online with a membership or just to read blog posts and find out more information about our events at homesteadersofamerica.com. We also have a YouTube channel, and follow us on all of our social media accounts to find out more about homesteading during this time in American history. All right, have a great day and happy homesteading.